upon us.
Yes, God.
For we come with teary eyes and with wailing throats. We come asking and petitioning, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us.
Yes, God.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on Charleston and Baltimore and Ferguson and McKinney and Selma. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. Open our hearts so that we might receive. Open our eyes so that we might see. Open our ears so that we might hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength.
Amen.
For a moment, I want to grapple with the subject, we who believe keep coming. If you mind, I just like to go through the book of Luke. To start off, the book of Luke is the third book in the New Testament, a member of the Synoptic Gospels, wherein Jesus is presented as the Savior of the world. Luke writes to Theophilus, who was likely a Roman governor, but whose name means lover of God. Therefore, this book is presumably written to those who are friends of God, and among the beloved. Luke's Jesus is deeply concerned with the dispossessed, the oppressed, and the marginalized, the disenfranchised, and the depressed, the cast out, the cut off, nobodies of society, the weak, and the wounded, and the frail.
Yes.
But Jesus, in the book of Luke, is often flipping the social paradigm. Flipping the power dynamics by eating and drinking with sinners, casting out demons of the possessed, cleansing persons suffering from leprosy, bringing the lame to walk, raising the dead, empowering the underclass, healing the sick, and teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. When asked why he was so concerned for the marginalized by the scribes and Pharisees in Luke 5, Jesus says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance in order to change their hearts and lives. Jesus came for those in need of liberation and those who were willing to receive. And in Luke, Jesus boldly declares his prophetic ministry and social vision for liberation while in his hometown. You know the story. Jesus stood up and read from the scroll proclaiming the prophet Isaiah's message in Luke 4, 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord.
Upon me, because
he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord. Luke's Jesus is concerned with restoring the community by signaling the cast down of society and welcoming them into the household of faith on equal footing with all rights and privileges as any other member. But unlike any other gospel, Luke's Jesus expressed deep compassion for women who are often the oppressed. Women are present as followers on Jesus' journey and are fulfilling prominent roles in Jesus' ministry. Y'all mind if I call the roll on this morning? In Luke, perhaps you remember Mary. The mother of Jesus, who received word from an angel of the Lord that she would bear Jesus, the Son of God. And it is Mary's song of praise in Luke 1 that foretells Jesus' ministry as a lifting up of the Lord. For she said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices to God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the Lord of his servant. Surely from now all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. I don't know about you, but I can relate to Mother Mary. And all of the seasoned saints who can attest, the Lord has done great things. Do you believe in the Lord has done when others were trying to put us down, God lifted us up. When they casted us out, God brought us in. When they took away our possessions, God supplied every one of our needs. God has done great things. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, shared her story in Luke 1 on how a nobody, a poor teenage girl, was used by God for a special purpose that made her somebody who would never be forgotten. Maybe you're not familiar with Mary, but you might remember Elizabeth, the wife of Zachariah and relative of Mary, who felt a leap in her womb when she encountered a showing Mary who was pregnant with Jesus. And it was Elizabeth whose disgrace of barrenness was turned into unimaginable favor as she was used by God, even in her old age, to birth Jesus' forerunner, John the Baptist. For Elizabeth reminds us that God's ability supersedes our timetable. And in the right season, God is able to bestow grace and favor for us. So Elizabeth's story, much like Sarah in Genesis, reminds us that God does not forsake us even in our old age. God is able to make the old young again and birth new life even in a state of barrenness. Maybe you don't know Mary or Elizabeth, but you might know the prophet Anna, who prayed and fasted night and day, and day and night, that a Messiah would come. And it was Anna who recognized Jesus as the promised one and celebrated his birth with praise. For Anna teaches us a lesson about patience and waiting for God. The holiness traditions say you gotta tarry with that thing. I'm sorry, but you gotta wait on that thing. Because God may not come when you want. But he's always on. I'm familiar because I'm from the city of a woman in Luke 7, a city woman in Luke 7 who showed up to the dinner party uninvited.
Come on, come on.
And began washing Jesus' feet with her tears and drying them with, you know that story, with her hair. And some asked, what manner of woman is this who touches Jesus? But Jesus makes it clear to Simon the planner, you see, this woman, from the time I came in here, you didn't do nothing for me. You didn't fix my things right, but she has wiped my feet with her hair and dried them. And so we know about the city woman whose resounding faith and resilient work produced righteous results. But not only was she forgiven, but she was saved. God specializes in forgiveness. What I like about this woman's story in Luke 7 is that she didn't come to Jesus with a sob story or explanation about what she'd done. She came to Jesus with humility and strength, putting her faith into action. Luke 8 reveals that many women traveled with Jesus. even alongside the chosen 12. There were young women and middle-aged women and old women and women who were saved like Mary Magdalene and women who were healed like Simon's mother-in-law, girl children who had played dead in order to survive and was resurrected by Jesus, like Jairus' daughter, busy women like Martha.
Amen.
Intelligent women like Mary, rich women like Joanna, and resourceful women like Susanna, all of them were following a man named Jesus.
Yes.
Following him closely and following him from the crowd. Many women were there.
Yes.
In fact, so many women were there that we didn't get all of their names. Every day was women's day. But the injustice system has been 400 years in the making.
Yeah.
For over the past 11 months, our sense of despair has been elevated because we are bombarded with terrorizing videos and images and headlines and articles and all manner of media that reveal a morally desolate America, domestically violent on the sun-kissed people of our land. Just about every week, we are hit with a new hashtag or protest slogan that highlights another group of slain victims at the hands of police brutality, or an unjust legal system, or ongoing violence. We are hard pressed on every side. When southern and northern and western and eastern streets and now churches continue to bear strange fruit. And the blood of fallen black bodies cry out to us. So I came with some questions about justice and how we relate to this persistent widow woman who is relentless about pursuing justice. I got some questions on this afternoon. Where is justice for Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and Walter Scott and Eric Garner and Rakia Boyd and Tamir Rice and Freddie Gray when their assailants still don't face penalty?
My Lord.
Where is justice? Turn to your neighbor and say, where is justice?
Where is justice
for the Charleston Nine, the Honorable Reverend Clementa Pinckney and Reverend Sharonda Singleton and Reverend DePayne Middleton and Reverend Dr. Daniel L. Simmons and Mother Susie Jackson and Sister Myra Thompson and Brother Tawanza Sanders, Sister Myra Thompson and Sister Ethel Lee Lance and Sister Cynthia Graham Heard. Where is justice when their murderer is arrested with a bulletproof vest? I have some questions on this afternoon about where is justice. Like this widow had some questions. Where is justice and liberty for all in our land and in our cities and in our communities when black and brown, when poor and disabled, when incarcerated and Muslim, when women's lives are treated as if they do not matter?
My Lord.
Where is justice? Where is justice? The term widow comes from the Greek word kara, meaning person stripped of their glory or a city missing its inhabitants. We are familiar on this afternoon with this widowed woman in Luke 18 and her unrelenting position for justice, because we too have been widowed by the multi-traumatic isms of our times. And as we look around, our mothers and our fathers and our sisters and brothers and sons and daughters and uncles and aunts and grandmothers and grandfathers, our pastors and co-workers and church friends are dead.
My Lord.
We've been widowed as well. Even as we've lived in certain cities in and around Chicago, and we have relatives in certain cities like Ferguson and Baltimore and McKinney and Staten Island and Charleston with a slew of unjust judges. Who care more about the families of the arrested than the families of the victims slain? Where is justice? For in that city, in verse 3, there was a woman who kept coming to the judge. In that city, in those certain cities, there was a woman who kept coming to the judge, saying, grant me enduring a period of overwhelming tribulation.
Yeah.
She had stood before the judge on several occasions, and time after time, her plea went unheard.
Yeah.
And her issue went unresolved, but she kept coming. Her case was probably backlogged, and no attorney was available, so she represented herself, and she kept coming.
Yeah.
Though she was aware that the judge had no compassion for her condition and no intent to recognize her concern, she kept coming.
Yeah.
All odds stacked against her and her opponents aiming to destroy her, this widow woman, she kept coming.
Yeah.
She wasn't going, but she was coming, indicates a return to a place that been kind and And I can only imagine that she kept coming because she was a woman of faith.
Yeah.
A woman who believed in a judge higher than the court system.
Yes, God.
Who in their right mind would keep coming to petition a judge who refuses your request over and over again?
Yeah.
But she kept coming.
Yes,
because she believed.
Yes.
She kept coming because she understood, in the words of Ella Baker, that we who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. So I just stopped by on this afternoon to tell you, we who believe keep coming. We keep coming despite the terror of America that said no place is safe for black people. We who believe, we keep coming. Though they bomb and shoot up our churches, we who believe.
Come on now. Yeah.
Though they choke our breath and strangle our necks, we who believe, we keep coming.
Yeah.
Though they attack us at pool parties, we who believe keep coming to the seat of
survival,
pleading, let justice roll down like water.
Yeah.
Righteousness as a mighty flowing stream, we who believe keep coming.
Yeah.
Though they arrest us and incarcerate our families, we who believe keep coming to the crushing
wall. Yeah, God.
Though they try to bury us, we who believe, we keep coming because we know that we're seeds in the ground.
Yeah.
Who gotta keep coming in order to blossom, that we don't die before
they arrive. Come on now.
We don't die when we walk the side.
Yeah.
Those very things grant us justice.
Yeah.
We who believe.
Yeah.
We keep coming.
Yeah.
Though we were never meant to survive, as Audre Lorde would tell us, we who believe, we keep coming.
Yeah.
We just keep showing up and crying out relentlessly like a persistent widow. Grant us justice.
Yeah.
Grant us justice against our adversary.
Yeah.
For we who believe, we that's what we do. We keep coming, keep showing up at work, and we keep showing up in our schools and communities. We just keep coming, and we keep coming, and we keep showing up. Because we understand that resistance requires persistence, and freedom only comes with a fight.
Yeah.
The Bible says, for while a judge refused in verse 4, he had to later say to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, because this widow keeps bothering me, because she's so persistent and determined, because she's so persistent and eager, because she keeps coming back, I will grant her justice.
Yeah.
So that she may not wear me out by continuing. Same judge who didn't fear God, who didn't have a concern for people, granted
Uh-huh.
That those who believe got to keep coming.
That's right. Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and say, we who believe.
We who believe.
Amen. In verse 6, the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen one?
Yes.
Who cry to him day and night?
Yes.
Will God delay long in helping them? Jesus said, I tell you, the Lord will quickly grant justice to them.
Amen.
And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And I stop by to tell you, I don't have much faith in America.
All right now.
But I got faith in a just God.
Yes. Yes. Glory to God. Yeah.
And I don't believe he brought us this far.
Come on. Yeah.
Do I have any persistent
faith? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And God is the righteous. It's time I'm concerned about those who are down. And so those who believe, we got to keep coming. Saw that there was no justice.
Wow.
And it displeased the Lord. And
I believe we've heard the word. I don't know about you, but we have been given marching orders. I have been given marching orders. Thank you. Thank you so
much
for letting the Lord use you in this place and this time. There may be someone here this afternoon who doesn't know the Lord in the parking of their own sin. And if you are here, this is not something that is an easy thing to do. If you are here and you are needing someone to hold your hand, to help you to keep on coming, as the preacher said, then I invite you to come down here, and I invite the ministers that are here to come and stand in the front that you might be received.
Yes.
That we might receive you in the name of the Lord. If you are coming just for a word of prayer, if you are coming just because the Lord told you to come, I don't know. But I invite you to come that you might be prayed for. Wherever you are to go, the Lord will tell you.
Amen.
I would say as the choir sings, but we are the choir.
Yes.
So can you give us something that we